for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Thursday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, July the 2nd, 2009. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on Desolation, the Curse of Tamar.
Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for everything that you've done so far. We thank you that we can come to this place and empty out the things that hold us down. I just praise you for your love and your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Lord, I just ask right now to bless each one of us as we listen to this this story and all of the hurts, and Lord, that each one of us can just be honest with ourselves. Lord, that you might be able to bring healing and restoration to broken areas in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is something that I've never taught on before. It's kind of not a new thing, but I've been asking God a question for quite a while. As I've been going to church meetings for years and years and years and years, everywhere I go, there are an abundance of single women. Not young single women, but older single women. Some of them were married years ago and divorced and never married again. Some of them have never been married. And they're beautiful women. They're available. And I just started asking God, Lord, what is the deal with... And maybe even when I start talking about this, it may be even something that married women... There are married women, you know, they have husbands, but all the husbands are not here. You know, they're not in the meetings. They don't go to church. They're kind of like single women. And I got home from the very last camp, and I was reading in 2 Chronicles before I had left for camp, and so I was going to pick up where I'd left off. And I opened the Bible, and when I opened it, I just almost opened it to the very same place. My Bible opened to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And it was a story that I had read and noticed a lot of things in. And when my eyes just fell on the page, there was a section of that story that just jumped off the page. And I thought, oh my goodness, there is something to this. It is the story of Tamar. So I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 13. I'm going to start just by reading the story. Tell me when y'all all get there. Everybody there? Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 13. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, Absalom was David's third son, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, who was David's firstborn, Amnon was the firstborn, the son of David, loved her. Now, Absalom and Amnon were half-brothers. Same dad, different mothers. Tamar is Absalom's sister. Okay? And Amnon was so distressed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin. So he's in love with his sister. That's what this story is about. And we heard Jerry talking about, you know, the incest. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. See, he knew it was wrong. So he couldn't imagine. And you know he must have been tormented by this lust that he had for his sister. Now, if we went back, you would see that all of these things in this story are manifestations of their father David's sin with Bathsheba. And this is a generational thing. In verse 3, but Amnon had a friend who was actually his cousin, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shema, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now that word subtle is the same word that was used in the garden with the serpent. He was subtle. That means he had some wicked suggestions. And he said unto Amnon, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and pretend that thou art sick. See, he's given him an idea how to fix this. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me food, and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down, pretended that he was sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and prepare a meal for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, send out all men for me. And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the food into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for such thing ought not be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And I, where shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Now we know that is rape. He forced her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that he hated her, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love which he had loved her. Now that's a perverse thing, isn't it? That love turned to hatred after he had his way with her. And she said unto him, There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst to me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servants that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of several colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters, who were virgins, appareled. See, that is something. Now, this is an apparel that she wore that signified that she was a virgin. In the physical, she wore a colored apparel. But in the spirit, there is also an apparel of virginity. We don't see it. Like Jerry said, we don't see in the spirit realm, but the demons do. The angels and the demons see in the spirit. And when something like that happens to a girl, it changes her countenance. This is what happened to Tamar. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her garment of several colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on her way crying. She was in grief now. the shame that she felt, the rejection that she felt, the betrayal that she felt, caused her to be in mourning. The ashes are they signify when people lost people in the Old Testament, they always sat in ashes, or when they were shamed, or when they had sinned, or whenever they were in grief, sackcloth and ashes are mentioned. So she put ashes on her head and tore her garment and went on her way crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, "Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee?" Now see, it was obvious. You know, Jerry said a while ago, she asked the woman, did your daddy molest you or have sex with you? No, but I knew he wanted to. See, those things are obvious. There is a look in the eye. There are ways that you know when something like that's going on. And so Absalom was already aware of his brother's feelings for Tamar. And he knew when he saw her. That's why he asked her. He knew what had happened. But listen to what he says. "But hold now thy peace, my sister." In other words, keep your mouth shut about it. Be quiet about it. Keep this thing unknown. He said, "He is thy brother. Regard not this thing." Now, how do you think that made her feel? Here is a young girl, a virgin. She has dreams of her prince coming along and marrying her. And all of those were dashed in her mind. Here's the thing that jumped off the page at me that day. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Desolate. But when the king heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. So not only did Amnon betray her by raping her, but now Absalom, her brother, who you would think would come to her defense and her rescue and her honor, telling her, "Keep it quiet. He's your brother. You know, this will be bad if this news gets out." But what about Tamar? She lived desolate in her brother's house. And over the course of time that I've been in touch with people, God connections, you know, that people, God would put in my life, and hearing their stories and having a heartbreak for what they've gone through, and it's more prevalent than I could have ever imagined. I'm just almost, it's a grief to know how many people this has happened to. Maybe not a rape by the brother, but a betrayal by somebody that you love and you trust. Or maybe it was a forced situation, like a date rape, or a neighbor, you know, that you don't know, and they rape somebody. Sometimes it is a brother, or a dad, or an uncle, or a grandfather. But this happens all too often. So I looked up the word desolation. She lived desolate. You know what it means? Devastation. Figuratively, it means astonishment. Now that word means amazement, great surprise or dismay that hinders or throws into confusion. That's a good definition of what Tamar must have felt. It means waste. It means ruined. You know, she felt ruined. Here she was. She had this garment, this apparel that the virgins wore. And after that happened to her, she tore it because it didn't fit anymore. It was, she didn't deserve it, she felt. She didn't deserve it. So she tore that garment, her apparel of virginity. It means the primary root is to stun or grow numb devastate, stupefy. Now that word, because I didn't know what stupefy meant. The root is to be astonished, stricken with sudden wonder, to make stupid, slow of mind, unthinking, irrational, lack of control or guidance, unreasonable, suggests control by some force other than reason, obtuse, lacking sharpness or quickness of wit, dulled in feeling or sensation, or incapable of feeling or sensation. You know, makes you kind of numb. So you can see these qualities in women who this has happened to. There's a lack of, like, life and vitality because they've been astonished, dull, a slow or sluggish mind due to disease, depression, or shock or trauma. And you know Tamar was traumatized. And so are young girls who are molested or raped or who have experienced incest. It's a trauma. The root of trauma means wound, a bodily injury caused by a physical force applied from without, a disordered psyche, or from stress or injury. It can cause stupor, which is a state of extreme indifference or lethargy resulting from stress or shock. So these are all manifestations of people who have experienced this kind of thing. Lethargy means forgetfulness, physical or mental inertness or sluggishness, like being in a state of suspended animation. So it's kind of a, you walk through life and you're not in touch really with reality because of the trauma. And I think that there is a lot of desolation, even in the body of Christ. Even a woman who may have experienced this as a very young girl, but now she's married, but she still has this desolation about her. The word desolate means abandoned, alone, lacking inhabitants and visitors, forsaken, lonely, neglected, dilapidated. Well, the Webster definition of desolation is the condition of being desolated, a barren wasteland, grief, sadness, and loneliness. And then, also deserted, left in a lurch. And that word lurch means a helpless or unsupported position, not protected. That's what happened to Tamar. When she needed help, she was left in a lurch. Not helped. She was not defended. She was not protected, but told to be silent. And in that, it caused her to be desolate. She was lonely. She was alone. She felt neglected, forsaken, abandoned. The word dilapidated is in there. And that word dilapidated means decaying, to decline in health, strength, and vigor, to decline from a sound or prosperous condition. And you see this in women who have suffered these things. Now that I'm, you know, learning these things, it's almost like going to medical school. You know, my son just graduated from medical school, and when he would learn about certain illnesses, they would learn all the symptoms of that illness. And it works the same way in deliverance. Once you begin time after time to see certain things that have happened to people, you start noticing the same symptoms, the same physical problems, so that you begin to ask, let me ask a question. And then you ask the question, and it's something that there's no way you could know. And they think, that you have some ability. It's not that. It's just you begin to know these spirits. They all act exactly the same. They even say the same words. It's just amazing. I told my husband, it's almost like entertainment to watch them, because it's funny. Sometimes they'll even pick the same places to sit in a church. They will say things, and you don't automatically think, oh, that's that spirit. But after a few of them begin to line up, you know. And I guess it's a type of discernment, because I pray for discernment. Discerning of spirits is one of the gifts that you really need in life. Let me just say that. We need that in life. We need discernment to walk through this life. But so when I read this about Tamar, when I saw that she lived desolate in her brother's life, in her brother's house, and you begin to think about people that you know that these things have happened to, and they're desolate. It is a desolation. I'm going to call it the curse of Tamar. The curse that came on Tamar. It wasn't even her fault. But lots of times curses fall on us when it's not our fault. We have nothing to do with it. We just become the victim. She was violated. She was violated. And there is a spirit of the violator. And sometimes in life when these things happen, I've taught on familiar spirits before, but if Tamar had gone on, if we had more of her story, it would be interesting to know what would have happened had she gone on, not lived desolate in her brother's house. I guess she lived out all the days of her life in her brother's house. Never married, never had children. Or did she? I don't know. Is Tamar mentioned anywhere after that? Do any of you know? I didn't think so. But she was desolate. And I believe that there is a desolation on women that needs to be dealt with. Even women who are married, but they still live desolate in their marriages. I think there's something here. They are barren. It means not reproductive. This could even maybe be something that could cause women not to be able to conceive. Unproductive. See, that could be a problem in keeping a job or just being unproductive in your life. Failing to have fruit. Or producing inferior or scanty vegetation. That's what barren means. Lacking interest, information, or charm. And a synonym is sterile. See, so it could cause sterility. I believe that there's probably desolation in men as well. Because women are not the only ones who are sexually abused. Men. You look at some men who never marry or who marry, but they can't have children. We just don't know. And here again, it's always this way when you have demons at work, because they usually are at work in the secret things in your life, things that you don't want anybody else to know. That's where the demons have their greatest power. So that's why it's great to come to a place where you can expose your secrets and expose the demon with the secret and have those things dealt with so that you can go back and live your life with more freedom. One time I was here and I had gotten off. Usually I just drive, around to where I'm staying. And one day I just thought, I wonder what's up that road in the back of the property. And I think Mike and I were here together, and we rode up in the back and everything. And coming back, I saw, you know, on the way, you see, oh, it's so pretty back here and everything. Coming back, there was, in the back, is a dumping place. Man, I'm exposing the secret of Lake Elman. But there was a dump, a place where, you know, old refrigerators or old chairs or just whatever. They were back there, and I thought, wow, that is such a picture of our lives. Because you can meet somebody, and we, you know, we fix our hair and we dress up and we look nice, but we all have this secret place where we dump our junk. And in, if it's not dealt with, pretty soon it begins to rot, and flies and maggots, and, you know, and it'll do the same thing in your heart. And you become sick in your heart. And whatever spiritual things that you have that you don't deal with eventually will work out into your flesh. That's why, you know, our spirit lives in this flesh body. But our spirit that Jesus came into when we accepted him was made totally perfect. But then there's this flesh body to deal with. And we have spiritual illness just like we have physical illness. And the spiritual illnesses will cause physical illnesses. So I call this like a dumping ground. We can come. And even whenever I was healed of depression, I said of God, of Jesus, that he was my divine garbage man. And I don't think he's insulted by that, because he came and he took my garbage. The part that was making me sick at the time, he came and took it. I mean, it was just like, in the Bible, it talks about the birds that want to come and take the seed as soon as it's sown. Well, they're demons. And I remember describing it one time, even before I knew anything about demons or deliverance or anything. It was like my rib cage was a bird cage. And crows, you know, bad birds. But when I was healed, it was like my rib cage just opened up like that. And I actually heard it with my ears. You know how when you walk by a bunch of birds and they take off, that sound? That's what it sounded like. It's like I heard it in the, I don't know if I heard it with my real ears or heard it in the spirit, but I heard it. It was like birds being released. And it was garbage. It was all the junk. It was just like he sucked it out of me. And I mean, I was instantly healed of depression. So we need a place where we can dump, a safe place where we can still love each other. And here's another thing that's so unbelievable. In the early morning prayer group, when we're up here, I don't know how other people are, but I don't remember one person that I pray for. It's really weird. I mean, they'll tell me some stuff. I don't remember one word of it. And one day, somebody was talking about a lady that had, boy, she was out on the floor and this and this, and boy, she was really getting deliverance. And I was like, where was I? I missed it. How could I miss that? Well, I was the one praying for, and I didn't even remember it. It is just bizarre. So sometimes people will walk up and say something about it, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? But it's really true. This is a safe place where you can dump. You can bring your innermost secrets, the thing that causes you the most shame, and you can reveal it and have it dealt with and leave it on the dumping ground, just like back there. We spiritually take it, put it in the dump. Nobody even knows whose it is. I mean, if I walk back there right now, I couldn't identify anybody's junk in the dump. I wouldn't know if it was Patty's chair or somebody's old mattress or, you know. And that's the way it is. So it's wonderful to be able to have a place to come and allow the Lord to deal with those innermost secret things that are spiritually blackmailing you, that Satan uses to spiritually blackmail you with. These people are usually cheerless, lacking in warmth or kindliness, depressed or sad, gloomy, melancholy, low-spirited, dismal, dejected, cast down in spirit, despondent, discouraged, or disheartened, forsaken, to quit or leave entirely. In Strong's, that word forsaken means let go of, renounce, fail to recognize, or shun. They feel shunned. That's exactly what happened to Tamar. First, he can't wait to get her in the bed, and afterwards, he shunned her. He hated her with a hatred even more fierce than the lust that he lusted after her with. He called it love, and that is a mistaken thing sometimes. I mean, a lot of us, I know that for myself, it's hard to say, I thought I loved Mike. I really liked him, and he was a lot of fun, and I wanted to be with him all the time. I wanted to marry him, but I had lust for him. And I wonder sometimes, was it love or was it lust? I really don't know. All I know is shortly after I married him, I hated him. I mean, if, you know, I'm not... Not hate, but it was like my eyes were open and I was like, what have I gotten myself into? No, but God is able, even with, you know, these prayer requests that you have about marriages, or God is able to make a marriage where there was no marriage. Because we got married, but I didn't have the slightest idea what I was doing. It was a dream I always had, and I fulfilled it. But the hard work started, you know, after the wedding and the shower. I mean, it's just like having a baby. Can't wait to have a baby. Oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, and you have the shower and everything. And then the baby comes home, and it's day in and day out. It's day in and day out. And really, those things can be monotonous. They were never meant to be monotonous. They were meant to be to bring you joy and fulfillment and all of those things. But sadly, we in this world, not many people reach that because we don't really know what marriage is. I think there needs to be a lot of teaching on marriage. I think young girls need to be sat down and taught what marriage is, what their place is in the marriage, because we don't know. We watch TV. You know, many people don't come from healthy marriages, godly marriages. And then they go out and reproduce what they came from. And there's not a whole lot of good modeled marriages in the world. So, you know, my heart just went out to Tamar. You know, she was young and beautiful. She was the king's daughter. And then, see, like Jerry said, it's not a cultural thing. It's not a race thing. It's not a financial thing. These things happen to everybody. Nobody's immune. Because flesh is flesh. And you know, I'm really learning. I've been praying for quite a few years for God to teach me how to walk in the Spirit. I don't even really know what that means. I have an idea what it means, but I want to know how to walk in the Spirit and grow in the Spirit. Well, I'm learning that flesh and spirit, my spirit man, is a totally different entity, a person. It's a totally different person than the flesh man I'm walking around in. And I'm getting real acquainted with my flesh. Or maybe I should say, I am recognizing my flesh body. And as Paul said, you know, he put his flesh under subjection. And we need to learn how to put our flesh under subjection. You know, flesh, yesterday I talked about money has a voice. Well, flesh has a voice. Flesh has a voice. And when you're, indulging in anything, like most of us can relate to sitting down to eat a meal or a piece of pie, let's say a piece of pie or a bowl of ice cream or something like that, and you finish it. Or, you know, these packaged things, I'll tell you, here's one of my weaknesses is Little Debbie Nutty Buddy bars. I really like Little Debbie Nutty Buddy bars with a glass of milk. And sometimes, they come to a package. You know, so you finish that second one and you think, and your flesh says, I want another one. Go get another one. I want another one. Go get another one. Well, I'm recognizing now, because for a while you go with the flesh because it's you think. But no, I'm recognizing that the flesh has a voice of its own. And when I'm thinking that learning to walk in the Spirit is when we don't allow our flesh to dictate. Because now, with Jesus in me, I am a new creation. It's a spiritual person. And yet, I've not really recognized that spiritual person as much as I have the flesh person. So now, I am telling my flesh that my spirit man is telling my flesh that you're not going to dictate to me. I will dictate to you. So now, I'm telling my flesh, shut up, flesh. You know, I want another one. Shut up, flesh. I had one, I'm not having any more. Now shut up. That's what we're going to have to start doing with our flesh. See, if Amnon had known that, maybe he could have said to his flesh, flesh, forget it. That's your sister. You're not doing that with your sister. See, we could teach our children. I was thinking this morning, sitting there, Noah, the little boy, wants to be in here with all the kids. And it was okay, but after a little while, he was beginning to be a distraction, so the mother pulls him aside. And what does he do? I thought, that is so our flesh. I want another one. Shut up, flesh. I want it. That is our flesh. And we wrestle. We wrestle with our flesh. The flesh wrestles against. Let me just turn over to Romans chapter 7. You know, I had a son that was in and out of jail for a while. And one night he left a message by the coffee pot, because that's the last thing I do before I go to bed. I should do it in the morning, because by the time I fix the coffee pot, I'm so ready to get in the bed. Well, he left a note by the coffee pot. Mom, would you come up? I need to talk to you. I was like, oh, I don't want a serious talk right now. But I went upstairs, and he had just gotten out of jail, and he was just crying. Now, he had been in and out of jail. I lost count. I really couldn't tell you how many times. It was so many times. And every time I heard the same thing. So I went upstairs and he started to cry. And he said, Mama, I just don't know why I do these things. I tell myself I'm not going to do these things, and every time I end up doing it, I've already done it when I realize I've done it, and I don't want to do these things. I keep telling myself I'm not going to do it. And he's bawling and squalling. It used to break my heart, but I'd grown kind of cold to the teary confession. And I said, you know what? You need to just open your Bible to Romans chapter 7. You're in good company. Paul had the same problem. I'm sure it wasn't stealing, but anyway, so I opened up the Bible. I said, does this not sound like what you just said? For that which I do, I understand not. For what I would, that do I not. I am in Romans chapter 7, verse 16 now. If then I do which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. There it is. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that's the spiritual man. But I see another law in my members, that's the flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, our flesh is still in sin. That's a sanctification process. And it will go on until we die. Our spirit was made perfect like that, but not the flesh. The flesh is a process. That's why you need to start getting serious with your flesh. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. I said to my son, does that not just sound like you? I know. I used to read these scriptures and go, huh? What? But it really, the way it's worded in those days, but now it's just like, you know, I really want to do good. But when I want to do good, evil is right there. And the very thing that I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do. And I don't even know why I do the things I do. That's what Paul was saying. And we all have that same struggle from time to time. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now, isn't that something? It's like, now, used to, I would struggle with my flesh. But we shouldn't struggle with our flesh because we have dominion over our flesh. We have dominion over the earth. But that's something that we've not really gotten the whole understanding of, too. So where I used to say, I would eat that last bar, and then my flesh would say, but I didn't realize it was the flesh. I thought it was me saying, I want another one. I know I really shouldn't eat another one. I know I said I was going to lose weight. I even said I wasn't going to eat anything sweet today. But I've already eaten it, so may as well have another one. I'm telling you, I would lose the battle every time. I just say, don't argue with yourself. It's not even yourself. You're going to lose every time. Because he's subtle. See, he'll talk you into it. He'll have you reason unreasonably. So now I can say, when that comes, shut up, flesh. I am not having another one. Shut up. And it works. Before, I would try to ignore it. And it was just like your kids. Mama, 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 mama. You can't ignore it. So what do you do to your kids? You know, you do whatever it is just to shut them up. That's what I would do. I'll go eat another one. And as a result of that, I mean, well, we won't go there. But anyway, we need to, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we have to put to death the flesh. Look at Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, see, this is where it comes in, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's how we're going to live in the Spirit. Look at 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we can walk in the Spirit if we begin to take authority over our flesh and dictate to our flesh. In the morning, now I get up and I say, flesh, you're not telling me what to do. I tell you what to do. You will do what I say, not I do what you say. And there was a power struggle until I reached that point. And so I say that to say that we see in the story of Tamar that the flesh ruled. Now, granted, they didn't have Jesus in them. Their spirits were not regenerated like ours were. But you can take this story and you can see how the flesh, when you live after the flesh, what it brings. And it destroyed Tamar's life. And I know that there are women here, and I know that there are women who have been here whose lives are desolate because of things that have happened in their lives. And so I want us to be honest with ourselves, allow the Lord to examine. You know, the word says examine ourselves, but sometimes there are things that we hide to the point that I don't know if it's a forgetting thing or if it's a self-defense, because I know that sometimes when things happen to children, it's a defense mechanism in the body that they can put it somewhere else. It's like someone else experiences it, but they put it in a place where they don't think about it, or it's buried so deeply in their mind that it has an effect on them, but they don't really know why they have these hang-ups and struggles. So I want you just to close your eyes, and Lord, I'm going to ask, first of all, that you would cover each woman here with your blood. You're a protective covering of your blood. Lord, that you would come with your Holy Spirit, with your light, with your truth, and examine our hearts, examine our minds, our memories, Lord. Bring to our memory anything that might be causing these particular manifestations in our lives, of devastation, of loneliness, of isolation, of feeling shamed and ruined and wasted, violated, perhaps innocence stolen, deep wounds and hurts of betrayal by somebody that we loved and trusted, or even a stranger. Maybe even in our own marriage, somebody that we look to for protection or to defend us, and it didn't happen. Maybe it didn't even have to be a rape or molestation, but just anything that happened to you and the one that you look to for protection didn't protect you, or that would defend you but didn't defend you. Maybe even took the side of the person who wounded you or hurt you, treated you with disregard, counted you as unworthy. Lord, I thank you that you can be our divine garbage man, that you can come and uncover what's been covered, that you can open secret chambers where things have been locked up, where the garbage is, where flies perhaps, and maggots and rot and sickness is occurring that's causing pains in our body, torments in our minds, shame and guilt, even though it wasn't your fault, that the enemy is so cruel that he will seduce you into something and then turn around and say, look what you did, and condemned you. Lord, right now, if there's anybody in here who has suffered these things, Lord, who needs a place to dump, who needs to get that rot out of their heart, who needs to be free from the desolation, from the betrayal, who needs desolation broken off of their life, who needs their garment restored. Lord, the garment of honor, the garment of purity, innocence, Lord, whatever it is, you are able. Lord, I ask that you could find and strengthen each one, if they have had this in their lives, to forgive that person. Forgive the person that betrayed them, that violated them, that disregarded them, treated them unworthy, ignored them, shunned them, ruined them, devastated them, left them in sadness and loneliness and grief and sorrow, deserted them. Lord, I ask that they could forgive them right now. Help them to forgive, Lord. I just ask you to release a spirit of forgiveness on each one that they could truly forgive and let it go. And right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, when forgiveness is done, I want to come against some of these spirits and call them out. And then if anybody wants particular prayer, if it's not dealt with in the deliverance, I'm glad to pray with you. And I know Janie will help me and Miss McCarroll. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of desolation and the curse of Tamar. I'm just going to call it that. Maybe no such thing, but I believe there is a spirit of desolation and the curse of Tamar. I bind you and I break your power off the lives of the women who are sitting here and all of those that will hear this message. I bind that spirit of desolation and the curse of Tamar. I break it now with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave these women right now in Jesus' name. All desolation, go in the name of Jesus. All astonishment, go. That amazement, that feeling of amazement, that great surprise, that trauma, that shock, in the name of Jesus, I command all of these spirits to go now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against the barrenness. Barrenness. Go in Jesus' name. Barrenness in relationships. Barrenness in anything that you try to do in your life, but it turns out barren. It's not fruitful. In the name of Jesus, I bind barrenness and command it to go in Jesus' name. Sadness and grief, go in the name of Jesus. All sadness and grief that came in through trauma or shock, in the name of Jesus, go. All sadness and grief, sorrow, all loneliness, go in the name of Jesus. That feeling of being forsaken, neglected and abandoned, I bind those spirits in the name of Jesus and command them to go right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That feeling of being wasted and ruined, like nobody would want you anymore, like your life is ruined, in the name of Jesus, go. Being shunned, you know, sometimes that feeling of shame, you shun yourself, it's rejection, and then it causes other people to reject you. So I bind that spirit of being shunned, the spirit of rejection, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You go, all spirits of rejection, being shunned in the name of Jesus. All spirits of gloom and melancholy, go in the name of Jesus. Melancholy, walking around in a daze, not having any life, no vigor, dullness, in the name of Jesus, go. I break your power. Go. Every like spirit of desolation, go in Jesus' name. Dilapidation, all dilapidation, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. You go. Maybe it's affected your health. I speak to every manifestation in the flesh caused by desolation and loneliness and sorrow and violation, rape, incest, go. All the spirits that came in during rape, go in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in, all familiar spirits that came in with rape, go. All spirits that came in from incest, go. I break your power in Jesus' name. Molestation, Go in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in through molestation, unclean spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All unclean spirits, you go in Jesus' name. All fornication spirits, spirits of fornication, all whoredom spirits that came in the name of Jesus. Sometimes they'll put you in desolation and sometimes it'll drive you the other way because of loss of respect. You lose respect for yourself and you see yourself as damaged goods, and so nobody's going to want you for marriage or whatever, so you just whore around. The spirit of whoredom comes in. And you go from man to man, prostitution, promiscuity, divorce can be the cause, the root of divorce. Things like this happen, and the demons that are at work won't even let you have a good marriage. So I bind all those demons that cause division and divorce in the name of Jesus. Go. We break your power. In Jesus' name, we command you to leave marriages in the name of Jesus. I come against mental disorders that might be caused by these things. The shock and the trauma, that stupor, stress. It'd be like post-stress, what is it called? Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm sure there is some of that in women who have been raped and molested. So I come against that post-traumatic stress disorder in the name of Jesus that came in through rape or incest or molestation in the name of Jesus. Feeling forsaken, all forsakenness go in the name of Jesus. It is written, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, and touch the hearts of the wounded, of the damaged. Lord, I speak to their wounded spirits, their broken hearts, in Jesus' name. Let me look back in my Bible. I closed it, but I want to see if there's anything that I left out. Worthlessness. All worthlessness goes. Spirits of worthlessness, like you're not worth anything anymore. I bind and break the power of worthlessness off of your life in Jesus' name. Defenselessness, feeling defenseless, like nobody is going to take care of you, nobody's going to defend you, nobody's going to protect you. I bind and break the spirit of defenselessness. And violation, I bind the spirit of violation, being violated against your will, held down and forced in the name of Jesus. All mourning, anguish, go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose her and let her go. Satan, I bind you and rebuke you and render you powerless in our lives. I command you to loose us and let us go from shame and guilt, worthlessness. In Jesus' name. All grief and sorrow, terror and fear of it happening again, all fear spirits go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all fear of it happening again go in Jesus' name. You will not, she was taken captive. I break that spirit of captivity in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can y'all think of anything that I left out? Any manifestations that were left out? Maybe y'all are familiar with some that I don't, that I'm not familiar with. Say it louder. Okay. All the familiar spirits that came in through rape, incest, molestation, all familiar spirits. The familiar spirits, like if something happens to you, it's almost like, the spirits that, like if you're violated by somebody, those spirits attach themselves to you. It's almost like a dog and fleas. You know how dogs can be in the grass where there are fleas and fleas jump on them? Well, it's the same when something happens to you like that. In the physical, there are spirits that attach themselves to you. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I break soul ties with every person that you were violated by. I break the soul ties right now in the name of Jesus. And I call back your soul and spirit to you. And we send back the soul and spirit to them, their soul and spirit to them. And Lord, we ask you to send your cleansing blood and cleanse their bloodline. And we take back everything that Satan stole from them, we call it back now in the name of Jesus. That term that Jerry uses sometimes, I exchange their image for the image of Christ. I never understood what she was meaning by that. But what it means is whoever it was, if that memory comes back to you, you exchange their image because we've already forgiven, taken an action of our will to forgive those people. If Satan brings that back, you just exchange their image with Christ. And so that there's no more torment. Now, I come against every tormenting spirit. And Lord, I ask you to heal their memories now. I speak to those bad memories. I speak to nightmares in the name of Jesus of this happening in your nightmares. I bind and break nightmares from you in the name of Jesus. And all those familiar spirits that attach themselves to you. So what happens, and let me tell you that I really understood, because it used to be so strange to me that a woman could have been molested when she was a child. Of course, she tells nobody about this. And then she has a little daughter, and the little daughter ends up being molested. And you think, that is so bizarre. But no, if you understand familiar spirits, when the mother was molested, the familiar spirits attached themselves to her. Now, there are things that are passed down. So when the baby is born, familiar spirits that were in her are now on the child. And then those familiar spirits can be seen by a molester. The molester also has spirits around him. So the molester can pick out, and that's how it happens, because of the familiar spirits. They guide each other. And that's why familiar spirits, it's important to always come after the familiar spirits with whatever spirit's being dealt with, because there are familiar spirits there. And so it's important, if you're praying for someone to send, you know, I give leave to the familiar spirits. I command them to go in Jesus' name. But also for children, if they have children, I usually like to pray for the child and command the familiar spirits to go. Because it's always something. And you know, the Satan will cause you to have fear. Like, I'll pray for someone and I'll say, I don't want you to listen to what I'm saying. I'm not calling you names, but I'm speaking to things that we can't see. And I don't know if God just protects the child or whatever, but they act like they don't even hear me, because I'm not speaking to the child. I'm speaking to the spirit. But that is a very real thing. Yes? We have a question. Wait just a minute. I'm going to do this, because every time we have questions, and it's hard to do recording. Nobody knows who you are or anything. So
in a family where the mother hid or acts like that she didn't know all these things were happening, and the children were young and now they're grown, and the mother is still alive, 87 years old, and it's still happening in every single generation of a, and you can't tell her because, I mean, she's got her right mind, but nobody can do it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we also need to forgive those that knew about it and didn't do anything about it. And that's very common. That is just as demonic as the thing that happens. But if you can forgive a person who has done something like that to you, we had a question on the question and answer panel one year at the minister's conference, and the woman who asked the question said, how do you forgive somebody who molested you every day of your life? And I don't know if the person was dead or alive. And what I told her was, if you can realize that the person who did these things to you was as much a victim, it's hard to look at it that way, but they're being used demonically, probably against their will, just like Paul said, the very thing I don't want to do is the thing I do. I think it must be very tormenting for people. I mean, my torment was, I ate a second Little Debbie peanut bar, you know. But like alcoholics, drug addicts, I mean, I can have compassion for my children who struggle with those things because I know how I am with chocolate. But they're a victim. And people say, well, if they wanted to, they could just stop doing that. No, you don't understand addiction. It's a demon. And it overpowers the person. And so, you know, she knew about it. That's what you're saying? She knew that it was happening. Yeah. It is a... It's a family secret. And that's... It's a family secret. And that's exactly how these demons are allowed to keep going and keep going and keep going. And, you know, I believe... I don't know the answer to that. Do y'all have an answer to that? What do you do with that? How is that what you're saying? What do you do with the situation that's going on and it's just keeping... You canceled it. In your life. Yes. Right. Right. Yes. 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 Maybe there needs to be a... Like, you know how they have these drug interventions? I mean... When you think about these things going on with children, and you know it happened to the mother and the grandfather, and it goes on and on and on. I don't know, somewhere along the line, somebody's got to have enough courage to confront these things. And it would be tough. It would be very tough. But yes, that's right. I know. I know it, but now realized that she was a victim too. But I think that there's coming a time, I think it's now, where we're going to have to confront these issues. It needs to be brought out into the open. It's just like anything. If you let it go, it's just going to continue and continue. It's like a boil, you know. Unless you lance it and get the rot out, it's never going to heal. And somewhere along the line, though, I mean, I tell you, the Lord told me 2 years ago to stop being polite to the devil. And I believe that that's why evil seems to be so prevalent, is because we've been too polite to the devil. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We don't want to bring shame to anybody. We don't want to... disrespect an 87-year-old. That's right. Wait just a second.
How do you stay in the spirit whenever you just take... You've got to go say something. How is the spirit with you when you're doing that? I mean, isn't it the Holy Spirit that leads you mission to go and confront? Because it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. So how do you step out and... Walk. I mean, you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is like new territory, really. Oh no. I mean, this is helpful to all of us because either it's in our family or we know someone that it's in their family, and you know, you don't want to. I think it would be better done, like, you know. The Lord gives us instruction in the Bible. Now, in the Old Testament, those people would be taken out and stoned. I mean, that was just the way it was. You didn't do those things, or they stoned you to death. But today, now, in the church, we've been given instructions, and we don't even do that. As the church, we don't even do the instruction that we're told to do, to go to them. And if they don't receive it, we go with two or three. And if they don't receive it, then we take them in front of the church. That is not even done anymore. That's why sin is running rampant in the church. So, I don't know. When it comes to children, though, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I really don't.
I really feel that, you know, when you to bring it out in the open, I mean, it becomes a legal issue because these children, you know, have to be protected and it has to be reported to Child Protective Service and they have to get involved. And it's, you know, in terms of the repentance issue, that's a whole different thing. But in terms of protecting the kids, they can't, you know, morally, it has to be brought out in the open.
Which I think is one reason people don't report it. Because Child Protective Services doesn't have the answer either. And many times the children are put through more trauma. I don't see why it couldn't be handled as a family issue. You know, it's just like the drug intervention things that they have. Surely the mother of the child that is, you know, being hurt wouldn't have a problem joining with, like you said, in your family, y'all put a stop to it. Well, cousins, aunts, whatever, whoever, to come together and pray about it and go and stop it in the family. You know, just to say, if this does not come to an end, we're going to go to the legal, we're going to go the legal route. I don't know. I mean, Yes. The secret. That's right. That's where Satan has his greatest powers, in the secret. You know, it might be that the 87-year-old mom would be set free from her guilt. And, you know, it may, you just don't know what it could do in the family if it was confronted. And I mean, to tell her, we're going to love you anyway. I mean, we've been with you. We haven't left you. But this needs to stop. And you need to repent. I don't know, but I would almost be willing to give it a try because it may cause a healing. It may cause revival in your whole family. You know, you just don't know. I don't know if we're going to have enough time.
We have time now.
Okay. I teach in the jail, and we always have prayer requests from the inmates, and they ask us to pray for them when they go to the court, and I thought, Lord, what do I pray for them? Are they guilty or innocent? They all say they're innocent, but some of them are innocent. So the Lord showed me to pray that He would send a spirit of truth into that court trial to the judge and all who has anything to do with this inmate, that God would bring the truth forth in His way and His time, and the way our Lord does it, it always works out right. So, to me, I would pray into that family that God would send the spirit of truth, expose the lies in His way and His time, and it'll all work out right. It does for these inmates. It works.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. I'll just let you pray for that.
Oh, merciful God, we praise and thank You that You show us the right way to go. Our way leads to death, but Your way leads to life. And we're turning this over to You, Father God, to send the Spirit of Truth into this family. You heard everything that was said here today. And that You'll expose the lies and bring the Spirit of Truth in, and it'll be done Your way and in Your time. And we just praise You and thank You, Father, that it's a done deal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That was good. I just learned something.
Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with the rape and the different people that have been raped, you're not only dealing with what the other person had, but you're dealing with all the evil couplings, which means the multiples that has been before. Mm-hmm. So we need to try to remember that it's not only that one person,
right,
but it's all the couplings and stuff that they've been with.
That's true.
And in the revelation, the darkness, there's gross darkness. Mm-hmm. And if the spirits and the elder go into that gross darkness and hide, they're kind of even hiding from their mentality.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Uh-huh.
I don't know who I'm sharing this for, but God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. I was raped by several members of my family growing up, and I didn't say anything for many years. And I was got married twice, actually, and just screwed up marriages, and ended up finally in the hospital, was hospitalized 14 different times in psychiatric units. And let me tell you, when I spoke out, it caused some problems in my family. But let me tell you, God has restored the years the locusts have eaten. It has been now 14, 16 years since my first incarceration, if I can call it that. Might as well have been. And my family is closer now than we've ever been. Don't get me wrong. We still have issues. I have one niece that grew up as my sister that died last year. One that I've got her son here that my parents are raising. You know, there's still issues in my family. We're not perfect and we never will be. But my mother and I are closer today than we have ever been. And my father and I are closer today than we've ever been. And God gave me a husband who loves me and cares for me and is everything I've ever asked for in a man. God will restore the years the locusts have eaten. He's even brought his dad back after 25 years. God is still on the throne and he's still working and he's still in the restoration business. Speak the truth in love and the truth shall set you free. And your 87-year-old mother.
That just reminded me when she shared that testimony that I'm going to change sides of the room. I went too close to the power source. She mentioned, the psychiatric unit. Incest and insanity run hand in hand. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of insanity that entered through incest in the name of Jesus, even generationally inherited. There may not, the incest may not have carried on because sometimes it skips a generation, but the insanity doesn't. So I bind every spirit of insanity and mental illness that came down through the family line because of incest. In Jesus' name, I bind it, I break its power, and I command insanity to go in the name of Jesus. All mental illness and insanity go in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you and praise you that the spirit of desolation no longer rests on those who have been raped, molested, incested, or any other sexual violation in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the deliverer. We thank you that you are the deliverer. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you and give you glory and honor today in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.